Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Michael Lev. Michael, we are going to talk U of A spring football, but probably not in the way that we would normally be talking about spring football. You talked to Kevin Sumlin here on Monday for about 15 minutes about Arizona's first practice, about Khalil Tate, about how players are developing. And then shortly afterwards, we found out that Kevin Sumlin would not have any more media availability until the spring game. For those keeping track at home, the spring game is April the 14th.
All true.
Certainly, we are working and have been working since then to try to change those things. But I know, especially in social media, this has been a back and forth between you and Arizona fans for days. For the basics here, just to explain what happened and explain kind of where we are right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go back a little ways. You know, normally, you know, you would get a schedule for spring practice,
right?
Maybe a month before spring practice started or a couple weeks out. Mm-hmm. We never got one of those.
Right.
Normally, you would get a roster heading into spring practice. We never got an updated roster.
Right.
Now, I don't lay any of the blame for that on the media relations department.
No.
I feel like they were honest in fielding my requests for this information, and for whatever reason, a lot of this stuff was just not forthcoming from the new football staff.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So that's kind of the background. So heading into this, you know, I kind of heard, you know, this is just not going to be what you were hoping for.
Right. We knew it was going to be different.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be different.
Right.
And the word I had gotten was that all the practices would be closed between the first one and the last one. I interpreted that as we're not going to get to watch.
Right.
Which is not an uncommon practice.
Right. It's not
here
our it's not
or
our,
elsewhere.
Right.
Not
it's
our
not
preference.
Preference, but right.
Right. I mean, Rich Rod closed the majority of practices in spring and in training camp. It's not a policy I agree with or completely understand, but that was the situation. Then came to find out, you know, after Kevin Sumlin spoke to us, that it wasn't just that the practices were closed for observation, but there would be no interviews with Sumlin, his assistants, or players during that entire time span.
Right.
Basically, called the complete Harbaugh, you know, a complete and total media shutdown, which is, I think, kind of unprecedented for Arizona. Certainly not a common practice across the country. I'm sure it happens in some places. But there are a lot of reasons, and we can get into those, why, you know, we think that this is not a great idea.
Sure. Well, let's start with those. I mean, to me, it's a simple... I'm not sure your average fan necessarily cares about media stuff, about the inner doings of our job. I think most people think we have pretty cool jobs. And when we say bitch and moan about, you know, layovers or Marriott points, I'm not sure we get a ton of sympathy. But this is different in that we are the eyes and ears of fans at these things, right?
Correct.
And I think that what your average fan doesn't realize is the less access we get, the less access they get.
Right.
Right. And the less access they get, the less excited they're going to be about football, the less inclined I think they're going to be to buy season tickets, to support the team in any monetary way. I think that limited access hurts all of us, whether it's the media or the fans. And then coming back around, I think the organization that imposes those restrictions.
I agree completely. The last thing anyone wants to hear is a bunch of complaining from us in the media, right?
Right.
So I just want to say, this is not that, okay?
Nope.
The way I view my job, and I think you were in agreement with this, is we are essentially providing a service to our readers, to our fans. We are conveying information. But not just conveying it, we're sifting through it, analyzing it, putting it in context, giving it some perspective. That's the difference between what we do and what someone who, let's say, works for the University of Arizona might do on their own website, through their own social media, etc. Right?
The difference between journalism and media relations.
Right, right. So that's kind of how I view my role, as gathering up all these nuggets, the quick hits, the extra points, whatever you want to call them, observations, getting to know the players, telling their stories. And by shutting off access, you are eliminating any almost any possibility of doing that in an environment that, frankly, they could control.
Right.
You know, I mean, I could still write a feature about the new offensive coordinator, Noel Mazzone, without talking to him, talking to his past quarterbacks or coaches who've worked with him and so forth. But, you kind of like to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Sure.
See what his philosophies are and how he likes to train quarterbacks and how he likes to run an offense. And I feel like by robbing us of that opportunity, they are robbing the fans of the chance to get to know and meet these people.
Right. And there's sort of a squishier response here, too. And again, for those who are listening, I covered U of A football for like 8 years before I became sports editor and dealt with Mike Stoops and Rich Rodriguez, who had very, very different approaches in terms of practice openness and media availability. Some were, Rich Rod was better on a lot of things and worse on some things. And so I think I'm somewhat qualified to talk about this, but spring ball was always to me a time to build relationships.
Right.
It was a time to get to know the people who you're covering in an environment that was largely stress-free, in an environment where there wasn't a ton of yelling and screaming, there wasn't a ton of gamesmanship. Frankly, you could stand there, and I did this when Mike Stoops was here, I could stand there and watch a spring practice and talk to the trainer, talk to the equipment guy, say, hey, who's that coach over there working with that guy? Oh, well, he's a new GA. Oh, cool. And he comes over and I introduce myself. It was a chance to build trust and to build relationships. And I think when we look at some of the limiting access issues, particularly at the University of Arizona, I think that when you limit access, you breed mistrust and even distrust between the coaches and between the media. I'm not sure the players care. I think the players, for the most part, enjoy doing media. But when you breed that distrust, it's hard to build it back up, right?
The question is, why does that exist from the get-go with this new staff that's just arrived in town, right? So, we've both done a little bit of research into, what someone's policies were in the past. And it seems like it was a little bit more restrictive than what we're used to here.
Right.
He wasn't quite as available as Rich Rod was. I mean, to Rich Rod's credit, I know he was, kind of a tyrant after losses. But he spoke every single day and made himself available and for the most part was cordial. And helpful.
Unless they had a bad practice. If they had a bad practice, he could be a jerk. But you know what? He was always there. He knew that being the head coach meant standing up and taking questions.
Right. So why would they take this stance? I mean, what I've been told from people with the U of A is that they don't feel comfortable yet with the personnel that they have. It's an entirely new situation. They don't want to speak about guys who they don't really know that well.
Fair. Okay? Right.
Which is fair. All right. If you want to go ahead and say, all right, we're not going to let you talk to the assistant coaches until fall so they can get a better grasp on their personnel. I get that. It makes sense.
Right. I disagree with it, but I understand.
On the other hand, and from our perspective, let's say I wanted to do a feature on the new defensive line coach, Iona Ugalele.
I believe it's Iona Ugalele. Right.
Like, this guy comes from Mount SAC to Arizona. Like, how did this happen?
Right.
How did someone find out about him? What are his coaching philosophies? What is his background? What sort of inroads is he going to be making in the Polynesian community? None of that has anything to do with the current personnel. You could do an entire interview and story without asking him about how's Derek Bowles coming along or how's Fintan Connolly looking to you. And I would even be willing to conduct the interview with those parameters. right?
Well, how about this? There's no law or rule that says that you have to answer every question that you're asked.
True.
And it's funny, I think that some, and this is not necessarily related to the U of A, but I think that some people are so afraid of looking like a jerk on camera by saying, oh, I'm not going to answer that, I'm not going to talk about that, that they'd rather not talk about anything, right? To me, so much of that is image control. And, you know, if you just said, if Kevin Sumlin were on Monday to have sat down with everybody and said, look, before we get started here, I want to explain to you what my philosophy is this spring, right? We're just getting to know each other. I'm not comfortable talking about position battles because I don't know. I'm not comfortable talking about last year because I wasn't here. I'm happy to take any questions that aren't about those topics. To me, that's fair, right? And if you, Michael Lev, were to say, well, who's the backup quarterback? And he would go, look, like I said, I'm not talking about that. You'd say, okay, and move on, right?
Correct.
To me, to say there will be no access, which means you can't talk to anybody about anything, is a little strange. And I know that that is somewhat in line with what he'd done in the past, but we need to understand, too, for better and worse, Tucson is not Texas A&M. Arizona is not Texas A&M. This is not the Southeastern Conference. You could have a powder puff game at Kyle Field. Is it Kyle Field? Kyle Field in College Station, mm-hmm, Texas. Mm-hmm. And you could draw 70,000 people. At Arizona, you need to work pretty hard to fill that stadium. And just winning sometimes isn't enough. And when Kevin Sumlin talked in January about not living in a silo, when he talked in January about engaging the community, I think he really could have backed that up with action by saying, you know, we'll open up a handful of practices to media and the fans, or we want to be as transparent as possible to the fans, so we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about everything. I mean, to me, there seems to be a disconnect between what he said he wanted to do and what he's actually doing.
Let's get into that, okay? Let's get into what was said that first day.
Right.
And then we'll kind of maybe put it in through the lens of how this, in our opinion, is a bad PR move, right? So some of the things that Kevin Sumlin said during his introductory press conference included the line, we will not be an isolated football program with our players, okay? In a subsequent interview with us, after the press conference, he said, we're not going to be in a silo, which signifies what? That you're kind of off
isolated.
Remote, isolated area, right? Dave Hickey said, you know, the part of the process in figuring out what kind of coach they wanted, Dave Hickey, the athletic director at Arizona, how can we engage people, okay? He said that he wanted someone who could be an ambassador for this university, for the football program, for athletics, the entire university. Someone who had the ability to connect in Tucson with our alums, the state of Arizona, be engaged, be connected. Someone to reinvigorate the program, inject energy into the program. And, you know, just because Kevin Sumlin is not opening up spring practice doesn't mean that he can't do any of those things.
Of course.
But it would have been a nice first step, right? And President Robbins said someone who could be a leader, not only of this football program, but an ambassador for the university.
Sure.
Okay.
Right. And again, so, that doesn't mean that he can't be.
Right.
But this would have been an easy way to check some of those boxes.
I think. Certainly would have, right? And instead, you know, what are we spending our time talking about on this podcast, or what are people you know, arguing with me about on Twitter? This, you know, the fact that they're not talking as opposed to the progress they're making on the football field, or the improvement of the team, or or whatever, which gets to the whole PR angle of this, right? Like, why would it, people keep asking me, why do they need to talk to you? Why is it important? Will it, how will it help the team or the program? Well, my take on it is, they have an opportunity to change the narrative, right? I sort of hate using that word, but I think it's applicable in this situation. You know, there's been all this talk about Orlando Bradford and whatever he did off the field, and this lawsuit, he said, she said thing with Rich Rodriguez, the FBI investigation with the basketball program, that whole deal. You have an opportunity now to put the focus on the football field, right? Let's talk about football. Well, it's impossible for us to talk about or write about football if they don't give us any access to the coaches or players or let us watch practice.
Let me be more direct.
Yeah.
They have a new head coach who's among the 10 most identifiable head coaches in college football, and they have a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback. even if there was no FBI investigation, even if there was no Rich Rod lawsuit or Orlando Bradford situation, you would think that they'd want to shine a light on their new dynamic coach and their potentially game-changing quarterback. Now, does this mean we are assuming a lot here too? I mean, Khalil Tate needs to prove to Kevin Sumlin and to Arizona's coaches that he is who they think he is, right?
Right.
Right. That maybe now is not the time to start the Heisman campaign. Maybe you need to wait until Kevin Sumlin's sort of been through a couple of wars with him in practice to deem him the leader of the team. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw some issues with Tate last year that could probably be lack of maturity in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I mean, maybe you don't want to start the Heisman campaign now, but let's talk about him. I mean, let's talk about – there are so many good stories on this team to be told. And this brings me to my next point. You know, Michael, I love mixing my sports analogies, but this is spring training season.
Right.
You have a team or two that you follow. So sure. Do I. We read stuff on a daily basis about teams in spring training. The majority of the stories that we read fall into like one of four categories, right? This guy's better than he was last year and wants to help. This guy is old, but he still thinks he can help. This guy's young, and one day he can help. Right? I mean, it's all sort of, here's where they are now. Here is, they're all overwhelmingly, I don't want to say positive, but they're features. They're get to know this young guy before he's in the big leagues. Get to know this old guy because he might make the roster. I mean, the only sort of critical analytical pieces I read in spring training is about dorky stuff that I love, like roster construction, right? Roster construction, injuries, things like that. That's not capital J journalism.
No.
I mean, that's very kind of soft stuff that gets me excited for the baseball season. It gets me ready to go buy a hat on opening day. It gets me ready to buy a ticket when they come to town. In that regard, I mean, Arizona should and could be doing exactly that, but with its football program right now. It could be getting people excited about the fall.
One of the other things they talked about on that first press conference is that they want to have an exciting stadium atmosphere. They want to sell out Arizona Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how this helps them accomplish that. I think it works against them. Maybe we're overestimating our collective reach as a media or what kind of an impact we have. But that's the way I see it. So you're talking about, you know, shining a light on certain players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or good stories coming out of spring. I was looking back at my stories that I wrote last spring. I would say 2/3 of them were probably about players, and maybe 1/3 of them were about, you know, team issues. Like they were bad at this last year. Here's how they're working
to get better
at third down defense or whatever the case might be.
Punting.
But just as one example of a story that I feel like has some value, and there are people out there who feel like, oh, well, there's just fluff stories anyway. Who really cares?
They're not.
Like Sammy Morrison, okay? Yep. He's a cornerback on the team, doesn't really play that much, has had some injury issues, great personality. I mean, anytime you talk to him, you just totally love the kid. I wrote a featurette on him last spring. Might be the only feature that is ever written about Sammy Morrison in his entire life. So it's totally cool for the kid and his family, right? And hey, maybe it shows, you know what, this kid, he doesn't really play that much, but what a great guy to have in the locker room. This is a kid that I can look up to and root for, him and his teammates, the way he interacts with them or the way they feel about him. Maybe it can inspire someone who reads or hears about this story to be a better teammate, you know, or to be a better person.
Right.
That's kind of what it's about. Like I said, there's a segment of the population out there that here's what you're saying about those types of spring stories, and they're just like, well, there's really not a lot of value in that anyway. I disagree. I think there is value in those stories.
Mike Stoops, when I covered the team, and I do a bad Mike Stoops impression. Does it? But I may be the only guy who does a Mike Stoops impression. I used to ask him questions in spring, and he'd look at me and he'd go, why are you right about guys who never play? And my response was always, because it's spring, right?
Right.
I mean, one year, Glendon Belaski, I'm dating myself here. I think it was my first year on the beat. Glendon Belaski, local guy, Sabino High guy.
Yeah.
Scored 2 or 3 touchdowns.
He's a sheriff now.
Oh, that's cool.
By the way.
Yeah, he's Brooks Reed's best friend growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Glendon Belaski scored 2 touchdowns in a spring game.
Yeah.
And I wrote a big story about Glendon Belaski, who had been hurt and shuffled around to different positions and kind of underwhelmed throughout most of his career at that point, scored 2 touchdowns. And I had to ask about him, and Stoops goes, well, he's not going to play. I go, well, yeah, but I'm not going to write a story about Glendon Bolaski in October.
Right.
Right. It's a waste of my time to write a story about a guy who doesn't play in October. But you know what? For him and for his parents and for his friends and for Arizona fans who hadn't heard about this guy in a while, that was a meaningful 5 minutes spent reading my story.
Right. Right?
And here's the thing, Michael. I've known you a long time. We don't take ourselves all that seriously here.
Right.
I don't think that we're overestimating our value. I think that if most people can look at your byline or on occasion mine and go, oh, I'll read this because he's usually pretty good. We've done our jobs, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about providing fans with a mostly free, mostly enjoyable football reading and watching experience over the next month. I don't understand why some fans are pushing back on that like it's bad. Or am I just overestimating social media?
No, there has been some pushback, and I think there are certain fans who will just sort of take whatever side the coach takes,
mm-hmm.
and feel like he's just operating in the best interest of his program. It's all about winning and focusing
right.
on football, and this is a distraction. I would disagree with that and say that making a handful of players and coaches available for 10 minutes after practice is over before they go into the locker room
three,
and shower.
3 times a week for 4 weeks.
Right. Yeah. It's hardly a distraction. And like you said, I think most of the players like talking
mm-hmm.
to the media, and they like telling their stories and, mm-hmm. and getting the word out. So, you know, again, speaking about this whole this idea of an opportunity lost from a PR standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you know, before we came in here, I saw some tweets about the Paul Feinbaum show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Paul Feinbaum is talking about today?
Spring football. Right.
He's talking about Tua Tagovailoa, I guess, hurt his thumb on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And some quarterback who transferred to Washington State. And some other developments around college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gets the word out about your program. Well, if there's no coverage of your team, you are out of sight,
right. out of mind. Right.
So I think that's detrimental. And something else I wanted to bring up, and maybe we're comparing apples and oranges here a little
mm-hmm.
bit, but USC's Pro Day
mm-hmm.
was this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was televised by NFL Network.
Whoa.
Because Sam, you know, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he's the
NFL Network is up the street in Los Angeles. So maybe it's not exactly the same situation,
mm-hmm.
but a carryover from the previous regime, Arizona Pro Day closed to the media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we would have gone mm-hmm. inside the ropes if we could have, and mm-hmm. we would have shot photos and we would have put up a photo gallery, right?
Sure.
Who does that benefit? Not only does it maybe get some page use for us,
right.
but it's good exposure for those kids.
Right.
It's good exposure for the program.
Flip side, who does it hurt? What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's, speaking just as the sports editor here, I guess I think that this is all just a little kind of blown out of proportion. Like, at some point, if they said every football practice is open, the first day there would have been 15 people there, in the media.
Right.
The second day there would have been 2. You would have been one of them, right?
Right.
By day 5, it might have just been you, right? I think that the people we cover sometimes think that we're somehow hiding in the shadows. It's like, my goodness, all we want to do is watch football. We like sports. We want to be there. We want to be informed. And I think that some of the, you know, when somebody goes to you, hey, Michael, how does this guy look? You can tell a fan or a reader, oh, you know, he's been doing some good things in practice, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to draw up the trick play that they've been working on. You're not going to,
no.
I mean, and most people who've been to a football practice know this. Football practice is pretty boring.
It's
they do the same things over and over and over again. It's pretty boring, but there are things that you can take out of it. And, you know, you, Michael Lev, love spring football and love football in general. I'm not sure it's too much to ask. That you have some access to spring football. Now, that said, all of that said, I mean, this is something that we're working to help remedy.
Yep.
I'm optimistic. I'm sorry, I'm hopeful. I think there's a difference between hopeful and optimistic. I'm hopeful that things will change. I think that they will. Here in the next couple of days, we should hopefully learn whether or not things have changed. But I think that this is a healthy and valid conversation to have, just given everything that we've talked about, even dating back to the Sean Miller stuff. You know, I think that talking about the media and the media's objectives is transparent. You know, we're trying to be as transparent as possible in this process in hopes that the U of A will do the same.
Right. Ryan has been working some back channels on our behalf and on behalf of the rest of the media of Tucson. And I think it's important to point out, too, that it's not just us who is affected by this. It is the TV stations, the radio stations, the websites who rely on producing material for their subscribers, which is not, you know, that dissimilar from what we're doing from a business standpoint. So yeah, we're working on it. I hope that I hope that the ice thaws a little bit and we're able to come to some sort of a compromise. I mean, I don't think it's going to, the end result is going to be that all practices are open for media observation, but if we're able to get some access more than we have now, I would be encouraged by that, and I would thank you for your efforts.
Well, it's not just me and Michael. I know that you saw this train coming a little bit down the road, and thank you for alerting me to that when you did. Again, I think that in the interest of being just transparent, these are good conversations to have. I'm glad that we can pop in on the podcast. The beauty of a podcast is it costs us nothing but our time and that we can sit here and explain kind of what our rationale is here. I also like that this is, I mean, our voices aren't raised. Certainly we're passionate about this, but this isn't a fight. This is us explaining why we do what we do.
Right.
And I think in a way that's somewhat rational and understated, and hopefully people understand.
I think it's sort of the difference between the West Coast and the East Coast a little bit. Like, I feel like on the East Coast, the reporters are much more apt to, as you say, kind of raise their voices
or
voice their objections in a more argumentative way. It's really not the way things are, generally speaking, here in the Pac-12 footprint, and I think Kevin Sumlin would find out if he were to expose himself to those press conference type situations that it's not all that combative. I mean, obviously there are situations that come up where you have to ask uncomfortable questions, such as the Orlando Bradford situation last year. But for the most part, like you said, we just want to talk about ball.
Right.
You know, which is, I think, what Kevin Sumlin wants to talk about, too.
And we're all grown men. I mean, like I said earlier, it's not every question that we ask necessarily gets answered, right?
Sure.
Just because we ask it doesn't mean that we're putting somebody on the spot with it. So I hope certainly that as we get further down the road here in spring ball, that there are more stories to write and hopefully that we can move on to talking about football and football players and football coaches instead of football practice. So
that's what I'm here for.
That is the goal. Michael Lev, thank you so much. That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. For Michael Lev, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.